But more than this, I wish you love.
Welcome back to State of the Human, the radio show of the Stanford Storytelling Project. Next up, the story of a tree that was barked up for all the right reasons. Not that that made a difference. Two years ago, Katie Ash went to Peru to work on her honors thesis, studying the water in the Amazon River. But when she made friends with the locals, they gave her a new research direction, mercury. In the town she visited, a lot of people made money from artisanal gold mining. Doing this kind of mining meant evaporating a lot of mercury into the air. Mercury is poisonous. Exposure over a long period of time can reduce people's IQs or cause birth defects, but its effects aren't obvious. Still, there was enough evidence for officials to declare artisanal gold mining illegal. This led to a huge fight. Gold miners said the problems were exaggerated and kept mining illegally. Everyone else insisted they were being poisoned. They needed a scientist to say who was right. Someone who would go back to the camps and tell them whether the mercury levels were really dangerous. That's where Katie came in. She went back to Peru the summer after doing her water research. But after spending some time in the illegal gold mining camps, she realized that despite her good intentions, she was barking up the wrong tree. Sort of. The real problems were much bigger. You might say she was barking at a twig.
So I spent 3 months up in a national preserve to do my undergraduate honors thesis research on water quality in the Amazonian headwaters, collecting water samples for about 12 hours every day. And I had analyzed them for oxygen and pH and temperature. And then I wrote my thesis about it. But while I was down there and I'd talked to Peruvians that were from the area, they were all asking me if the river was poisoned from gold mining. Because massive amounts, like tons and tons and tons, literally tons of mercury are being poured into the rivers through gold mining processes that people are doing along the riverbanks. And so everybody that lives there is scared of being poisoned. But I wasn't measuring anything that would have told them if it was being contaminated from mercury from the artisanal mining that's happening there. I came back completely convinced that I had to study mercury. I, in fact, promised that I would come back and study mercury to a lot of my friends there that were very concerned about it. So I spent the whole next year that I was back in school, when I was supposed to be focusing on my honors thesis, writing up the stuff about water quality, on writing a new series of grant proposals to go back and study mercury, learning all the techniques that I had to learn, and just getting ready to go back and try again. Last winter, mining became illegal in the area that I was studying. So there is a violent backlash, and all sorts of government officials were trying to get the miners out, and the miners were protesting fairly violently. Everything kind of shut down, and people were in the streets. People that are opposed to mining make the claim over megaphones in the town center that everyone is being poisoned and that the miners are jerks for poisoning everyone. And then the miners go out and they shout on their megaphones about how nobody's being poisoned. They're just fine. So in the winter when I was writing the grant proposals, I was scared that I wouldn't be able to go back to study, or that they wouldn't let me go back to do this research. I'd been talking to local organizations about what I wanted to do, and some people sounded kind of interested. So when I got down there, I walked into the Amazon Conservation Association's headquarters in Puerto Maldonado, and the second I walked in the door and told the lady at the desk my name, somebody grabbed my hand and said, "We've been expecting you weeks ago." And she just dragged me down the street in Puerto Maldonado. And she said, "Hurry up, we're late, we're running late." And I couldn't figure out what we were running late for. She drags me down like streets of extremely crowded people, and I have my luggage, and I don't know what's going on. I've never met this lady. And she drags me up through the town center, up through the town hall, past, you know, groups of meetings and town council members, and this like huge swarming building full of people. And we get up to the top story in front of this organization meeting for the women of Puerto Maldonado, like women's leaders. I didn't really have time to figure out what was going on. She pushed me onto the stage and told me to tell everybody what my research was about. So I started to try and remember my Spanish and tell these people about my project and how I wanted to study people and see if the people in the area were being poisoned. But right when I started talking, right when I got the courage to start explaining to these old women what my research was about, the town plaza fills with shouting on megaphones from miners that are protesting. And so I'm shouting at the top of my lungs, trying to remember Spanish. And these people down in the plaza are shouting on their megaphones about how mercury has no bad effects, how they're not being poisoned, how they even swallow mercury and they haven't had any effects. I remember them looking at me like I was insane, because no researcher had ever tried to go into the mining zones before. And the ones that hadn't been successful, and they'd been shot. I had a conversation with a couple researchers that had bullet wounds from going in, or had been shot at, but not hit. At that point, I pretty much decided that I wasn't going to go into the mining camps. I didn't have a death wish. My plan was just to study on the fringes of the mining zones. Just camping out at the medical centers outside of the mining zones, where people would come if they had an ailment, and just ask everybody that came in for a doctor's appointment for if they wanted to participate in my study and collect a hair sample from them and have them fill out my questionnaire. The first couple times I went to a doctor's office outside the mining zones, and I'd ask everybody that came in if they wanted to participate in my study. And about a third of the people would participate, and I'd collect a hair sample from them. But only about 10 people would come in a day, so hardly anybody. And I'd just sit there and wait all day long in this hot, dark doctor's office. The doctor just took pity on me because I kept coming back and spending all day there asking everybody that came in if they wanted to participate. And I talked to him about it. He just, at some point, he just said, "Get on my motorcycle." I said, "Okay." So I went out front and I got on the back of his motorcycle and he just drove me into the mining camp. So once I got on the back of the motorcycle, I'd ride through rainforest for about 7 miles, usually. On winding footpaths through just gorgeous primary rainforest with monkeys hanging from trees. And then all of a sudden, the rainforest just stops cold. And all of a sudden, you're just in the desert. And you can't see the trees on the other side. It's just this huge sandy pit. It's weird because I think the thing I noticed most was that there is no moisture in the air anymore in the rainforest. It's so humid you can hardly breathe. And then all of a sudden you're just getting hit by the full power of the sun. And all of a sudden that moisture that was on your skin is just gone. So the mining zones are along the highway, and they're pretty heavily guarded. And so we'd go into these little kind of gas station-looking things. I usually didn't say anything. Usually the doctor did the talking for me. He would just say, "This is my friend. She's doing a study on mercury. She wants to figure out if people in the mining zones are sick or not." And so they'd open up the gates and let us in. Everybody lived in shacks made out of tarps, shanty towns that were sprawling. You couldn't see the edge of them. They just went on forever and ever. In the mining camps, it's like the Wild West in the worst possible way. It's just a series of bars and discotheques, which basically just means brothels. And most of the women in the communities are in the sex trade somehow. So it was a very strange dynamic, spending most of my time there. I'd go in and I'd be doing my mercury study, but the doctor would also have a line of pregnant women coming up to him asking him for help, asking if certain things were normal. Because the doctor goes into the mining zones and does pro bono work, helps people that are sick that usually wouldn't come to a doctor. So it gave my study credibility and acceptability within the community. I just felt like a very little fish in a very big pond. Like, the general demographic of the people in the mining zones were people in their early 20s. So everybody was about my age. And so I just had conversations with thousands of people. And I came to understand that none of them wanted to be there. That they'd only ended up there through a series of unfortunate events. And it was almost comically out of place for me to be trying to help these people with information about mercury, because frankly, mercury is the least of their problems. And telling a 16-year-old girl who got tricked into becoming a prostitute that mercury is bad for her is missing what I really wanted to be talking to them about. And it just felt silly that even the best case scenario of my study didn't get at what could actually help these people. So then I spent the next 6 or 7 months in a basement analyzing all of the samples that I'd taken. So just melting hair samples in acid and very carefully weighing things into glass vials for months and months while trying to take all my classes and get everything else that I need to do done. It just felt crippling to be in a lab analyzing all of these samples accurately to the sixth digit when everybody's just shooting at each other and and I'm getting news reports about how soldiers are coming in and trying to like violently remove minors. It's such an extreme disconnect from what the problems actually are. But I finished it, and now I'm working on publishing the study. I mean, my research isn't getting at the core of the problem at all. But a lot of people are interested in the study, and a lot of people want to know. And even if it doesn't help the people in the mining zones, it helps convince the people that aren't in the mining zones that mercury is a bad thing. Because even the people that are living in the city that aren't doing anything in relation to mining, they're still being poisoned with mercury. You know, I don't know how much more I can really do. I'm not a politician or somebody that has a lot of sway, but I kind of learned where I need to go and what I need to do with my life, how to get myself into a position where I'd be able to make those calls or prevent things like this from happening. I've just spent so many months thinking about it now. I can't not think about it. I'm constantly thinking about it. What can I do to help the people that I met this summer?